There are three crowns. Keser Teiro, Keser Kuhuna, and Keser Malchus. Three crowns. The crown of Teiro, the crown of Kuhuna, and the crown of Kingdom. Keser Shem Toiv, Ola Al Gabayim. And the Keser of a good name is above them all, or is on top of them. So before we start, the major problem, besides understanding the terms, the major surface problem, right, it hits you right between the eyes, there's a counting problem here. You start telling me there's three, and when the Mishnah tells you three, it means three and not four. Three and not two, three and not anything else. Three and three. That's exactly. No more, no less. Three.
Big problem.
And L'chaira seems to be four. Because the way my fingers work, if you say Keser Teiro, Keser Kuhuna, Keser Malchus, and Keser Shem Tov, you're up to four.
There's one thing you can do.
Yeah.
You can say
Keser
Teiro,
Keser
Kuhuna,
Keser
Malchus.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do. Which is the one you'd like to do?
I would like to say that what makes those things tar, whatever keter is, okay, what makes those things tar, each one of those specific things, all the different faculties that those things are, Shem Tov has something in it that is the essence of those things, but it's a better essence of either of any of them. Whatever that thing is, I don't know what it is.
I think it's the three is four pshat. Was it? One in gematria, doesn't it?
We're not Christians, you know, one is three, three is one. Don't know math.
It's a very, very serious problem. It's a very serious problem. All the Mefarshim deal with it. That's almost the only thing they deal with over here. So, in order to deal with that, before we start dealing with it, there are many interesting approaches. And I like to believe that all the approaches combined, they all add up to one chat. But we'll take it step by step. But first, before we get to directly answering that question, there's a few other, few small problems. No, really questions. There's no, you know, very short to the point. There's a few definitions here that we could. We could use some help understanding what the subject is. What is it exactly? Is this an informative Mishnah? It's just telling you the facts of life. Is it trying to teach us something? Is it something that we? What exactly is it Shimon's Ben Yochai by teaching us? What's this message? It's just telling us how life is built, how the world is. There are three ketorim, two arms, and one nose. And like, you know. Yeah. How's it go?
First of all,
what's a keter? Very good.
That would be
it. Yeah, that was going to be next. I'd like to hear it. Go ahead.
Crown's above it all. That's one. That's
not. Crown is above it all. Okay.
What's a crown of Torah? But that's a specific shot. So this, like a paper ring that you bring open the garden and you stick it on and you say the Torah?
It's something
that's
like
up there. Is that it?
You put it on top because it shows some type of specialness. It's an addition. Because you have this thing, and
right.
You need that position.
In halacha, there is only one of these three that wear a crown. A melech, like the real kind of thing, right? Keser Malchus, so there's halacha, that one brings it down, and he's supposed to wear a crown.
Doesn't the Torah have the Torah has a keser? I mean a physical keser.
Well, Keser
Teiro. Also, the Keser Kuhuna, there was something that
the coin well will it turn?
Wasn't
seats?
Wasn't
an element
crowd? It wasn't the
three came in the base of English. Oh, yeah, what they call
tetrad. Yeah. Okay. Right. So we would assume for the moment that Shimon is talking about the ksorim as they relate to man. For example, like all the five different midrashim, going human divine bezo and bez, that it's other places also. That Keser Kuhuna is Aaron HaKohen, Keser Malchus is David HaMelech, Keser Teiro It's up for grabs.
No.
Up for grabs. My Shurbanu had it too. So does every Talmud Chacham. Any Yid. Every Yid. There was once one of the great Tanoim and a very big Amoritz, big in a positive way, were having a conversation. And Rabbi Yonai felt that the Amoritz was a little out of line. And he gave him to understand who he was and who the Amoritz was. And he gave him to understand that it's not him personally, it's just because he's carrying the Torah. And that requires a certain relationship. So the Amoritz got in the last line in the Gemara, and he told Rabbi Yonai, well, then my Yerusha is by you. You've got my Yerusha. Because it doesn't say, Mereshes Yonai. Mereshes Kilus Yaakov. Kilus Yaakov includes every Jew. So my Yerusha is by you. So if you are the guardian of my Yerusha, remember, it's not yours, it's mine. It's mine just like yours. Torah is for all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael is Torah available. Half a pekin. Keser Torah is a special.
How is it better
than that? Do you have a Rambam? Who is there?
No.
I don't think we'll get there next week anyway. Let's start. So the problem is the king crown on the head, he actually wore a crown. Oh man. I actually once was thinking about it and have some pictures at home from the crown jewels in England.
It's not easy wearing a crown.
Oh, yeah?
It's not easy wearing a crown.
Yeah, well, I don't have to worry about it. But that's not the problem right now. But I was actually wondering for a moment whether there's any truth to this business about wearing a crown. Maybe there's just some goyish idea. So I took out Rambam, Hilchos Melachim. There was black and white. Melech, he's got to put on a crown. Such an idea, I guess. I mean, physically, like, you know, a thing with, I don't know exactly what it looked like, but yeah, gold and jewels and stuff like that goes on the head, and, you know, I think only one person in the whole nation wears, and something. A crown, doesn't matter, you know, this color, that gem, this gem, I don't know.
Queen did.
What?
Just the king.
I don't know, maybe the queen did too.
Claudius for that too, or no?
Esther wore a crown.
I'll call you for her too, no?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you fit two crowns on one head?
Depends what type of crown. They were made out of gold. Yeah. Tof. B'chol even. But Keser Torah, Tamir Chachamim, and Keser Kuhuna, Kohanim, they didn't wear crowns. There's all kinds of ideas of big day covered for Rabbonim. It's definitely Indian. There's a Makor for that too. But not Kesa. Not Kesa. So the Kesa over here is not referring necessarily specifically to a physical thing. Why a king actually had to put on a thing on his head, that's, you know, by him, it had a physical connotation, had to be like this kind of thing. I was looking at this thing and saying, hey, this is like Purim kind of thing. Is this for real? And then you look at, no, it's for real. So we have to have derechetz. When you see a crown, you have to have derechetz. It's not nothing, it's something. But like, what is it? What is this thing? So I wear a black hat, he wears a green hat, and I want to wear a yellow hat. So he wears a yellow hat, it's made out of gold, it's maybe a little more expensive than my hat. So what? Because it's on the head, my hat's also on my head. Because it's round, my hat's round. Because it's made out of gold. So what? Does it say that a keser has to be made out of gold? So what is this keser business all about? So you said there's a pashut pshat, I'd like to hear it. I don't know it. You know? What's the Pashup Shani? Any other Pashup Shani?
No,
what's Keser? What's a Keser? What's the concept of Keser? What do we mean when we say Keser?
He said the clothes that you're wearing, I spoke with you, the same thing he said. He said that you put that on to show that you are, if you're a general, you put on all these medals and everything else, because you are showing respect for the king or the whatever, that you are in his army, you're in his army. So if you're the king, right, you have to wear something special so that you're showing respect. You're the king. You're the king of this nation, but you ain't the one who's above, right? Doffed above your head, and just showing. This is my way of showing kavod. I can't trust any shlub. I am a king who's just like a little pawn. The real king's army.
There's truth to that. There's truth to that. There's truth to that. But. All right, I hear. Let's take it step by step. So let's just finish first the question. So we want to know what a keser is. I hear what you said. See if we'll talk about it a little more. We want to know what these threesome is. And we want to know what the fourth guy is. And how does he relate? How does he be four and still be three? Because it says three. Then we want to know what Shem Tov is. Chlaf. Once we're getting into what Shem Tov is, actually, it wouldn't be a bad idea to know what Torah is, know what Malchus is, and what Kuna is. I mean, I don't know exactly if we have to get into it, but why not? If you really want to get technical about things, there's another word that maybe you would like to have a definition for. That's Shloisha. That we spoke about many times, though. Shloisha is a very... We spoke about the concept. I think we had it on the first year.
Chazaka.
What?
Chazaka.
No.
A few times.
Shloisha is a very interesting concept. Basic, very basic concept. It makes the world go round. Very important to get it straight. The only problem with it is that it has three forms. And he always has to know which one you're talking about. The Tzadashava from all three forms of three is that every three is made up of two extremes and a middle. So the simple way of understanding the three forms is the three dimensions. You have a top, a bottom, and a middle. You have a left side, you have a right side, and a middle. You have an inside, you have an outside, and you have a middle. That was easy, no? You got away with that. So whenever you find the three, so you have to know two things. Number one, that we're talking about two extremes and a middle. And number two, I have to know which one of these three are we talking about. Are we talking about something that's like a top, bottom, and a middle? Are we talking something that's a right, a left, and a middle? Are we talking about something that is an inside, outside, and a middle? And the sticky part is...
It makes it sound like it's on a number line. It's on a line. It doesn't sound true either, is it?
No, not necessarily. I didn't want to get complicated. Middles, okay, let's just take, for example, right, left, and middle. Okay? So right, left, and middle, the middle itself can be in three places. Could be middle in the middle, middle on top, middle on the bottom. Okay. That's if you want to get complicated. Why get complicated? It's only a simple mission. Why do you want to get complicated? Why do you want to get complicated? Take life easy. But whenever you have a three, those are the rules. We have to know two things. You're looking for two extremes in the middle, and we have to know which of these three forms of threes are we talking about. And then there's over here we have the problem of the Keser Shem Tov, which we have. Where does he go? Okay. There are exceptions to the rules. There are threes that are really fours. Like the Ovis and the Emois. The Ovis was from one extreme, Yitzhak the other extreme, Yaakov in the middle, combines the two extremes. So in the Emois, you have one Ema for Avraham Avinu, one Ema for Yitzhak Avinu, the other extreme, one Ema for Yaakov as represented in this extreme, and one as Yaakov as that he includes the other extreme. So every three has a four because the middle always has a connection to the other two. Okay? But that doesn't work yet. Except in certain pshatim. Certain pshatim we can go that way too. But then what would be, there's a very basic pshat over here, most of the Rishonim, who, like the Rabbeinu Yonah, is like adamant about it, right? That there will not be a fourth. There are three, and that's all. So Shem Tov is going to have to find his place in the other three. Because if he's not going to find his place in the other three, then it's a fourth. And there aren't any fourth. It says three, and that's it, and don't argue. Can't argue. It says three. What do you mean four? There's three. Can't count. One, two, three. That's it. So if there's anybody else here, Shem Tov, you're going to have to find your place somewhere. So Rabbeinu Yonah takes out his magic wand, and he clarifies to us that Keser Shem Tov is one half, upper half, of Keser Torah. And another way of reading this Mishnah, as the Rabbeinu Yonah says, is like this. There are three Ksorim, Keser Torah, Keser Kuna, and Keser Malchus, but don't think they're equal. But Keser Torah, which can be called, in other words, for good reason, Keser Shem Tov, right? Ze Ola Agabi. So if you... that's it. That's it. You thought, one middle, no, no, no. One, two, three. At the top, above. And he goes into a lot of... he's very adamant about it. He wants this, and he hacks it in. Make sure you get very close. That's it. That's the pshat. This keser. Torah. And there's keser kahuna. There's keser malchus. And there's actually a discussion whether it's that way or this way. But the whole even, where do you put keser kahuna and malchus? This is that way. Exactly how, two extremes of what? What are the two extremes of? But the whole of what the Rabbeinu Yonah clarifies to us without any shadow of a doubt is that the two of the three that are the extremes are Keser Torah, is Keser Kuna and Keser Malchus, and the middle is Torah. And this middle is Al Galbeya, because it has a higher, or a extra expression which shows its greatness, called Keser Shem Tov. Okay? All of them, we're not learning yet, we're just getting questions. So the question that we're asking is exactly, could we please map out this business so I can know what we're talking about? Can you please plug this into some type of a system? So you have to know the systems that to plug in what are available, but we still have to know what is this all about. The Rabbeinu Yonah, already from square one, when he's telling us that the mission is telling you, we were looking, what is Shimon's message? It's just telling you that, what? See? Counting for us. Letting us informative. What's the mission telling us? And if you want, it's also the connection to the last Mishnah. We learned last week, or I think, that the Torah doesn't go by the regular rules, because it's related to things that are not here, they're there. And either here, they're there. Shammai, you're Boaz. That's right, that's what Har Sinai did. Torah came Lord, even though Torah is B'Shammai. Torah B'Shammai came Lord. Olam Habo came to be here, but it didn't turn into Olam Hazeh. Torah is Olam Habo. Doesn't accept the limitations of Olam Hazeh. Okay. That concept of the unlimitedness of Torah to the restrictions of Geshem, of Olam Hazeh, that's called Shein Tov. That's called the unlimited aspect of Torah. That even though it's here, it's not here. Even though it's here, it's here. We don't know exactly how. It's a nace, but it's a ben olam habo. It's a limitless thing. It's a limitless thing that's walking around in this limited world, but it's not limited. So the expression of something limitless that has an expression olam hazeh, the way you call that is shem tov. This is what Shimon ben Chori says in the Medrash. Shetoyah was... I didn't bring the Medrash. Who brings the Medrash? The Maral brings the Medrash. The Maral brings the Medrash. Toyah, so the Oren, was 3 days ahead of the Machar. 3 days is ahead. It's disconnected, but it's connected, disconnected.
Aren't
just about 3 days ahead?
Yeah. Because
there's other people around. Just the people carrying.
Right.
Really? Well.
I thought it
wasn't
the middle.
That's a
pasuk
in Chumash.
There was a machlok zishayim, but it was a different oren on the same oren. One pshat is that oren is going on the oren that went out to Mechomas. The oren that Moshe made for the Luchas. And some people say that
either way, what was inside was still the luchos, right? Just
have to hand you out. Torah, yeah, it was Torah. Something about Torah there. So the farthest, the range of Torah, how much is it? It's 3 days, whatever that means. Right? But that has a certain limit. 3 is a limitation. 3 is right.
Lama
what?
Lama
tumay. Lama tumay is a different thing. But Shem Toif. Shem Toif Hoylech Mesoifa Oilem Atsoifa. That's Lashon Shem Boyachoy in the Medrash. Okay, when it's just a more explicit form of the same Mishnah. Shem Tov is limitless, that's its thing. It knows no bounds. We saw this week a very expression of what Kesa Shem Tov looks like. Holding the Shiva Shlom Zalman of Shalom. Shlom Zalman was, if you heard the Spain, if you knew anything about him, this is it, this Mishnah. 300,000 people, at least. I don't know, it doesn't make any difference. The whole world, Gans Kaisel was there. Why? 98% of the people that were there never spoke to him a word. Many of them came from very, very far away, physically, spiritually. Many of them, if they would have met him in the street, wouldn't recognize him. They certainly wouldn't have recognized his godless. I think he's an old man, nice old man, nice grandfather. He's an old man with a really sweet smile. But that's all. Yeah. Where did they come from? Whole class out there now. Guess a shame to have knows limits. It was amazing. I'd like to see if you can get some engineers or whatever. I don't know exactly who you need to do that to find out if you can actually put 300,000 people in those streets. I'm very, very doubtful that it can be done. All right. I don't think there's room. It's just not giant. I don't think it can be done. I don't think there's no giant. It's not giant. Tell me that. It's impossible. Forget it. Tell me stories. It's not sure.
Or containing one thing. My son tried to ask me what that meant. What? And I figured out.
You what?
My son, I figured out, Be'erich, that if you take an apartment this size, okay, approximately the size of my apartment, double it, if you can picture in your mind, okay, I completely filled the floors, all the floors, with marbles. It's about 300,000 people. That's what we bid, 300,000 marbles. All through all the rooms, two apartments like this, completely jammed with no space whatsoever. That's about 300,000 marbles.
Yeah. Now you fit that in Shari Chesed. I mean, it's a joke. Forget it. Like, but it happened. They televised and printed and everything. I guess the Shem Tov, there's no limits. There's no limits. International time, space, chugim. Right? Which chug did he relate to? Ask each cook and they'll say mine. The B'nai Yeshivas definitely knew that Shlom Zalman was theirs. The Hasidim asked them. They were theirs. Right? The Sephardim, oh, Shlom Zalman. It's ours. The Mizrahi. Shlom Zalman is one of our men. Right? Doctors. Right? Kesef Shem Tov doesn't know any limits. Misayif Oilam, not Misayif Oilam. And this, I don't know, I was Zoicha Baruch Shem to meet him many times, where he learned, his room, Dalet al Dalet, is like, would have been.
He used to sit there like this.
It was about from there to here. I had about 100,000 sforim in there.
The rest of the apartment wasn't much bigger than that.
Yeah. From here to that big. I don't know how. I figured it out a few times. There was a chair and a desk and 100,000 sforim, and it wasn't that big. It was amazing. And that's all. There was a little window between the sforim someplace.
And a bare light.
And a little light bulb. That's all there was. I think there was a phone on the desk.
There
was a phone on the desk. That's it. That was it. Finished. And like if you were looking and trying to give it directions to find this place.
Look for the place with the longest stairs going up.
And then you have these stairs. I don't know, the two Doilei HaPoskim Yerushalayim have these stairs that try to give instructions to find Rabbi Yashiv's house.
Like,
But the Mishnah definitely says there's no way we can avoid it. That the Keser Shem Tov is al gabeim all three. In other words, the Mishnah is telling us on the one side, going with the Rebbeinu Yonah, the Keser Shem Tov is somehow that still needs explanation. It's some another form of expression of Keser Tov, but it's also something that relates to all three. That's not a fourth. It's Keser Torah with another aspect of Keser Torah called Keser Shem Tov, which is Al-Galbeim of all three. Keser Malchus, Keser Kuna, Malchus doesn't relate to Kuna, Kuna doesn't relate to Malchus, not only don't they relate, they're not allowed to relate. Meaning that you're not allowed to have a Kohen and a Melech. And the Hashmonayim will cost them very dearly.
Cost
of
no success.
Yeah, we don't have any B'nai Chashmonoyim alive anymore. And it's a Nigma. Why do you have to Nigma? There's nothing any Oynish. They made whole Chanukah, they couldn't. Nothing? They made Nigma. Because they made an atomic explosion, they did an impossibility. They combined the Ksovos directly. You know, you take a positive and negative, and you can't do that. You can't take Malchus and Kun and put it together. Malchus is Malchus, Kun is Kun. Al-Galbeim, there's something Keser Shem Tov that takes it all together. Includes all the Milas, all the Chalak.
Isn't that part bringing it together?
Yeah. Last question. Keser Tov. So, B'chol Oifen, without yet understanding that much, but we're starting to get a picture of them, what that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is teaching us something. He's not just counting for us. But he's teaching us something. He's telling us that there's a relationship here. Okay? Keser Kuna by itself, Keser Malchus by itself is a nice thing. But you don't get it right yet. To get it right, you have to have Keser Kuna, you have to have Keser Malchus, you have to have Keser Torah, and you have to understand that Keser Torah, Keser Shem Tov, Keser Torah is Al-Galbeim. That's what he's telling us. In other words, the last part of the Mishnah, the Keser Shem Tov Al-Galbeim, according to the Ben Yonah, that's the punchline. That's the point that needs to be made. Not that there are these three. That there are these three and Keser Shem Tov Al-Galbeim. Tov. I can't even know where to start. These are the kind of things that are very, very, very clearly, very all-encompassing. And there's so much to say that, you know, there's nothing much to say. We're playing with them. You're not in a rush.
I'm in a rush for the last 4.5 years.
So we said a few words about Shleisha. Maybe we'll say a few more later on. But let's start with Kesem. What's the concept of Kesem? Right. What does it mean, Kesed, or Kesed Kuna, Kesed Malchus? First, before we get into what Kesed is specifically, I want to know, is it the same as saying, when I said Torah, did I say Kesed Torah? Or no, there's Torah without Kesed Torah, and then there's Kesed Torah. Same thing, like, is there Malchus with Kesed, and there's Malchus without Kesed, and then there's Kesed Malchus? Or Malchus is Kesed. So two things are one thing.
You mean synonymous, or that one goes with the other?
Well, in other words, can you have one without the other? Can you have one without the other? Right. Is it an adjective? You know what Torah is? You know, a shirus is not a keser. Torah is a keser. You know? A shirus is a milah. Right? But it's not a keser. Malchus is a milah, it is a keser. In other words, then Kesu would only be a specific adjective that describes these three particular mises, Torah, Kohuna, and Malchus. But what we need to know is it that way? Is Keser an adjective that applies to these three and a half, four, whatever they are, right? These four things? Or is it two things? You have Torah. You can have Torah without any Keser Torah. But there is such a thing as Keser Torah too. You can have Kuna without Keser Kuna. But there's such a thing as Keser Kuna. You can have Malchus without Keser Malchus. And there's such a thing as Keser Malchus. So we'll start with Keser Torah. Keser Torah, we have a Rambam, which unfortunately didn't come here. It was forgotten at home. But the Rambam explains in Hilchos Talmud Torah at great length that there are two worlds, two sets of halachos, two prokim. There's a pair called Hilchos Talmud Torah in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and there's a pair called Keser Torah. And there's different rules, there's different responsibilities, there's different madrigas, it's a whole different world. So maybe next time, I don't know, it could be we'll even look inside and see what it's about. It's an important thing. We'll get into maybe, you know, teach one individual. But b'chol eifin, from that Rambam, we can clearly see, which that's something we could have understood otherwise, that's two things. First, there's Torah. Let's say it this way. The Mishnah here is in some way, shape, or form a equivalent to the second Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Gimel Amudim Heim Torah Avoido Gmilas Chasodim. So Torah is Torah, that's not her. Torah is Torah, right? Kuhuna is Avoido. No problem with that. Right? Then we have Gmilas Chasodim and Malchus. Is that the same thing? Is that a different thing? What is that? So, for the purpose just of understanding the concept, I once heard from Rav Huttner that the job of the Melech was the Gemilas Chasodim HaKlolis. That was his job. His job was to take care of Tzorchei Tzibur. Just like Gemilas Chasodim is Bein Laniyim, Bein Lashir, Bein Beguf, Bein Benefesh, Bein Begashmis, Bein Beruchnis. Gemilas Chasodim, Reb Chaim Shulevitz, Himidlan Yisod. What is the bottom line rule of Gemilas Chasodim? What do I have to do? What does it mean? Give off light, give out money. What is the basic common denominator of all chesed? What is the common denominator of Bikur Cholim and the Vayas Hames, and Hachnasas Kalo. What's the common denominator between them all? What does Gemilas Chasodim in its broadest sense mean? So we won't go into all of his rayas, but even Siyasida Yesoid. He brought Gevaldiger rayas for it. The Yesoid was the Chiyuv of Gemilas Chasodim is to meet the needs, desires, and what can help anybody, everybody. And now they're Madrigas. Gemilas Chasodim means meeting needs, meeting desires, meeting things that the other person could use. If there is a person in front of me, he approved for many Gemaras, and he has a need, I have a chiv deraisa to meet that need, if I can, unless I'm potter because it will be in a way that will take away from my needs, or unless there's somebody else who can meet his needs. But any valid need that would not be a steer to my own responsibility, and that there's nobody else that I can throw the ball to, I have a chiv deraisa to meet. That's the klal of Gemilas Chasodim. Katan v'gadol. A kol shovim lefnei Gemilas Chasodim. The melech's job was to be doyig for Klai Yisrael as a whole. One of the first things it says about David HaMelech is that they came 6 o'clock in the morning. Sanhedrin is knocking on the door. What's the matter? Problem with Panosa. Klai Yisrael's got problems with Panosa. They're not making more. Problems with Panosa. 6 o'clock in the morning. David HaMelech, healing, learning, tired. Right? Knocking on, wasn't it? Panosa. The Melech has to handle with Panosa. He has to handle with roads. He has to handle. From the lowest, there is no low and high in front of the Gemilas Chasodim. Okay. Rishol Salanter didn't make it to Shul for Yom Kippur in Nidre. What's the matter? For Kol Nidre, one Yom Kippur. Where was he? He was rocking a baby's carriage. He was walking down the street, heard the baby crying. So the baby's still crying. So he said, look in the window, see if anybody's taking care of the baby. Because he was choshed that maybe somebody got like this, you know, Yom Kippur from my dear and run to shul. And the baby's sleeping and it'll be okay just for a half an hour concept. And the baby's crying. So he looked in the window and nobody there. So he went in and rocking the baby. But all of the town was waiting for him. The baby's crying. So it's fun, rocking the baby. Rock the baby. Why is he after him? Why? Because the baby needed to be rocked, and there was nobody else around at the moment to throw it on, and he saw it, so he has to do it, and that's it. It's a chiyuv deraisa. But he has to daven kol nidre, that's not a deraisa.
Chiyuv deraisa from which
command? Gemilas Chasodim. What's the chiyuv of Gemilas Chasodim? Halachta v'dorcha. Just like the Rabbi Shalom stands in the world as a doyek to be mala kol tzorchei kol bu yosef. Not only things that you absolutely need, but even things just will make life a little more pleasant. Like we say in the Baruch of every need. Give him things that not bread. It's not bread. You can live without it. From water, which you can't live without even more than bread, to candy that you can live without completely, even maybe better. Right? But the Bereshit created all of it because there's a time for candy too. Candy has a role too. Right? So he gave us candy, and he gave us flowers, and he gave us beauty, and he gave us mountains, and he gave oranges come in these. Right? Now you can get any little pills there. You know? Nah. Orange. You need vitamin C? Yeah. It's juicy and it's sweet and it's good and it's beautiful. Nefesh kochoi. Has to, the Rosh fulfills all needs from high to low. There's no highs, there's no lows, whatever there is. Whatever comes my way, I do it. Whatever comes my way, I do it. So it's time that Yom Kippur on the way to Kol Nidre, the whole tzibur is waiting. Baby's crying. Tell the Rosh Kol, went looking for him, they found rocking the baby. And tell somebody else, does somebody else want to rock the baby? Fine, he doesn't have to rock the baby if somebody else comes. Then you can go to Kol Nidre. Somebody else wants to rock the baby? Fine. Somebody else can rock the baby, he goes to Kol Nidre. Okay. But right now there was nobody else rocking the baby. I don't know how long it was there, maybe half an hour, maybe more. Chofetz Chaim was found on several occasions speaking to this woman, William Kippur. And there were talmidim like, we're kind of wondering about that. Yeah, like we're standing on the street and having a schmooze with this lady, like, you know, it's so weird. So they decided that they're going to lend an ear, see what's going on. Must be something really, you know, important that the Chofetz Chaim has to speak to this lady about on Yom Kippur. Politics. Goyish politics on Yom Kippur. And the king did this, and the king did that, and this tsar did this, and he's a good guy, and he's a bad guy, and going, all should have problems. And it's going on. Yom Kippur, Chofetz Chaim, come on, talk to a lady, come on, what's going on? Okay, so they wait until he's finished, and they went over and they asked him, it's Yom Kippur, like, good, they finished, says Musaf, and it's not yet time for Mincha. But I'm sure Chofetz Chaim could find something to do this time, like, you know, it's not. Yom Kippur, like even we wouldn't like do that. Walked out of shul, I saw a lady. He happens to know that she was an amona. And he saw that she was lonely. So he said, he's going to talk to her. She has a need. She's somebody to talk to. So what am I going to talk to her about? So the way I heard it over from Talmidim is that the Chofetz Chaim said that he saw it is that somebody who's lonely wants to talk, he doesn't want to listen. He wants to talk. So don't tell him what you're interested in. Get him to tell you what he's interested in, and then talk about that. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim did. Started encouraging her to get over the ice, and you know, no big deal, just talking to the girl with the door in the middle, you know, keeping the street, no big deal, nothing to get excited about. And like, you know, what's on your mind, lady? And yeah, encouraged her to, you know, what's on her mind was politics, so he spoke politics. No listen to her, no problems. Yeah, you don't keep him, so what? Does say anyway, now I'll talk politics, I'm keeping. Well, it doesn't seem to be a good thing to do. Like, there's better things to do, there's nothing better to do than Gemilas Chasadim when it comes your way. Right? She had a need. She needed to talk. Nobody else going to talk to her. Nobody's paying attention to her. Like your neighbor in shul, like, was probably telling her, shh, shh. Right? Like, shh, all day. She's lonely. Has a need. Sorry. Need.
So how is this
going to
do with
Keter? That's not yet Keter Gemil Sosodim. It's not Keter Malchus yet. That's Gemil Sosodim. Malchus. That's Malchus. That's what Malchus is. Dovid HaMelech. I'm just showing where Malchus is the Ofen Tziburi of Gemilas Chasadim. So now it's no problems, right? Taira, Kun is Avoida, and Malchus is Gemilas Chasadim. It's not mine. I didn't make it up. I just explained it, but I didn't make it up. Each one of these things are Amudi Oilo. And as the, I don't remember, each person is an oilam molei. So if you want to build a real world, you have to build it on amudim, otherwise it's not going to last. So there are three amudim, shav l'chol nefesh. They are shav l'chol nefesh. Everybody has to have Torah avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. So the person, well, I'm a Torah person, I don't need Gemilas Chasadim. That means I'm a foot people, I don't need hands. I'm a head person, I don't need a heart. I'll only drink water, I don't need food. No such thing. Things that life is dependent on, you need it all. You can't give up anything. You need this and that. All of that, all that's available. Even if you have a little bit more of a netiyah to this, so you can specialize. But you can't pick and choose. Everybody needs everything. The amudim, you want to stand on a chair, you know, 2 feet, don't stand. 3 feet stands. Three amudim. If you take one, you know, a stool with 3 feet, and you chop off one, and you can't sit on the stool anymore.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. It's related distantly, second cousin.
We have enough problems with the cousins and brothers, so let's get like this Mishnah and that Mishnah are brothers. That Mishnah is telling us, that's why it's all the way there in the beginning. It says, you know, this is the Yesodos. This is the Amudim. You can't get started without this. You want to be a person? You want to be a Jew? Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, and I can talk to you. You want to pick and choose just Torah, no Avodah, just Avodah, no Torah. Okay? Forget it. You don't want to talk about. You're not in the ballgame. The system, on the different levels in each thing, but the system requires Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. Those are three parts. You have that, you're in. You don't have that, you're out. That's first, like all the way in the beginning. Here it took us a couple of prokim, a couple of years to get there. But now Hashem Yochai is telling you, you know what? That's true. That's Shavu L'chol Nefesh. That's Shavu L'chol Nefesh. But there's also something that's not. It's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Chalana. Besides the Torah that everybody has to have their piece of, there is a higher, special, exalted form of these things. It's not available to everybody. And it was never meant that everybody should have one of these in their backyard. It was meant that, for example, a king should be one. And that's it. Just one of these. That's enough. When Christ or Nebuch got into a situation where there were two kings, it was a catastrophe. It's all Malachim and all of the downhill, straight downhill from there on in. Right? When Klaisel split into two kings, terrible. That's no good. One king. Kohen Gadol, one Kohen Gadol. That was Parshas Koyach about. Kol Yisrael, kulam kudoshim. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek b'olam haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek in Torah, like we said before. Right? Kolam kulam kudoshim, but kese kuno. Only one. So that's true for Malchus, only one. That's true for Kuna, only one. And it's not exactly true for Torah. Torah, it's only one. Then anybody can be that one, simultaneously. Keser Torah is an amazing thing. It's again one of these limitless things. If I'm Kohen Gadol, you're not. If you're Kohen Gadol, I'm not. If I'm king, you're not. If you're king, I'm not. If I'm Keser Torah, you can be too. But if I am, then you're not. Torah doesn't know that kind of thing. It's not limited by those problems. You're the only one, he's the only one, he's the only one, he's the only one. How have I? That everybody should be. Everybody can be. You can have 100 million kudoyle hador. So which one? All of them. Anybody zoicha to be Behemet Keser Torah is up there in the Ksorim gallery.
The problem is that everyone thinks that they are.
That's a different problem. We're not talking about that now. We're in the real world here. We don't have to deal with that stuff. This is the real world we're dealing with. We don't have to deal with all the false junk that goes around in the world. That's our problem now. We're dealing with the real world. You know, at least in Limud, we have Shaychus to the real world. So we don't have to taint it with all of the ugliness and funny stuff that goes. People are people who actually think that if you put on a funny hat, you become Keser Torah. A different hat that goes like this or like that or something. And if it comes with some other, you become Keser Torah all of a sudden. No. Not like that. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, Eviyud. for Yid Behemis. And the Gedolei Baalei Emunah say it's not just every Yid, every day. Every day.
Every day?
Every day. So Torah and Avodah, at least in the most minimal way, you get with Kriya Shema and Shema Nesah. Right? You can get by that. At least I'm not, I didn't have nothing, I had something. Minas Chasadim. If you don't watch out, if you don't watch out, you may go through a day without it. Then, Klai Yisrael, Shulchan Aruch has told us that those minimal levels are not sufficient. For example, for Torah, yeah, with Kriya Shema, but you have to be kaveit in the Torah. That's a new level of a minimum of Torah. Avoida, not just one tefillah a day, de'aisa, but three tefillahs a day, and 100 brachas, and birchas hamazon. Gemilas chasadim.
Birchas hamazon is a tanaida.
What?
Birchas hamazon is a tanaida.
It's not.
What?
It's a special. It's a special case. It stands on zones.
When you do it.
What?
When you do it, or it's if you.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's advisable. You have to have a good reason not to say Bechos and Mosul at least once a day. It's a good thing. You shouldn't try to avoid it. You should try not to avoid it. It's a good thing. Besides the fact that if you just read the words, and like the tefillahs that are available, and the Bechos and Mosul, like, we try the chaperayin whenever they happen, when he allows it. I mean, you should eat and wash and eat and wash all day long. But like, if you're eating already, you might as well wash. People go out of the way, that's why I won't have to bench. People go out of the way, figure all kinds of funny ideas, they eat the stuff that's made with this, made with that, and it's a mezainis, it's not a mezainis, and it's a mezainis, and I'm not kaveh suda, I'm yet kaveh suda. What's your problem? I don't want to bench. What do you mean I want to bench? I want a bench. Right. Wash so you can bench. That's a void. That's a void. A Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim wasn't given any preordained chesed hour. Now you're going to do this amount. You know why? Because you can't start with you, you have to start with him. So Avraham Avinu was out there, he just made his milah, and there aren't very many Jews around. And it's a little hot. And he's got a tzar, he's got a big problem. I didn't get my Gemilas Chasadim in for the day. Well, Avraham Avinu was Avraham Avinu. Gemilas Chasadim means two poros and chardal and milk and bread and sudas malachim. Actually, it was malachim. But... That's like the minimum shear of getting through the day, and that's starvation. And Avraham Avinu can't live without Gemilas Chasadim. So the Vajram supplied him his need. But for each of us, we have to know that that's not yet our Mishnah. Tell you, I'm going to Gemilas Chasadim. That's the Mishnah. That's all going to be. That's Yisoides HaChayim. You want to be considered alive? Is today a day? Are you alive today? There's three parts to the world. And it's not enough one without the other. You need all three. You got your kfiyatum latayr, you had your tefillahs and your brachas, right? And the Gemilas Chasadim. So I've often had the opportunity to speak to people about this in private, and a very interesting comment I got. What can I do? Nothing came my way. I wasn't invited to any chasanas, I didn't hear about any levayas. Right? I know a neem came my way.
No wife, kids.
Huh? You don't have that problem.
Take a shower.
No other problem.
Take a shower and you'll see like hello.
I don't have the problem. Yeah.
Take a shower.
I would be filled. 90 hours of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking
about. You know,
they're
like,
hello, went to the bathhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was different. He didn't say it was going to say.
That's what was it?
Yeah.
Cover a bit.
Oh.
That's
why he told us Tamil. Yeah. Kavod aguf. Do you have a minute person like you said, no kesher? I didn't have an opportunity. Whole day, 12 hours, 24 hours, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime. I don't really get very much opportunities to be oisik chesed. It's a little something impossible. Something strange.
Goodbye when you're
sitting
there alone.
What?
Yeah, don't walk out the door just not to divide. Just to keep the divide.
Clearly, all of y'all love. Loito if you adam levadi. There are people that can be walking around amidst 300,000 people, right, and not see a soul in sight. Nobody here, just me. It's just me. Needs, my needs, my needs, my needs, my needs. Needs, yeah, sure, my needs. And could be, was it actually working on his needs? How about somebody else's needs? Nobody told me anything. Nobody asked me for anything. Nobody said anything. No evil, see no evil. Let me knock on my door. Oh, what can I do? When I made it to the day, the week, the month, the year, the lifetime without any giving us the sun. You know, hear that concept.
Anyway, just what the Rav said before. If you have a chiyuv to fulfill somebody else's needs, if he's chasser, so the male, that's your needs. If you're a guy who can do that, so that is your needs when you fulfill the other guy's needs.
Awesome. The difference between Yisrael Salanter, that kind of a chesed is a good lador chesed. Why? Because anybody who's not on that level, was running to Kol Nidre, talus over the head, and all of the big makshavas, right? Didn't hear the kid. Any of you heard the kid? Right? There would. What does it got to do with me?
Yeah.
Like what? So what? Like okay. It doesn't. I'm going to Kol Nidre. Like, you know, what's it got to do with the kid's crying in the house? Like, what's it got to do with me? Right? But his whole Salanter was attuned to everything that's going on, all the time, even on the way to Kol Nidre, and. What's that? Oh, that's a baby crying. One second. You know, the mother's sick there, right? Taking care of her. No, there's a possibility that right now maybe the mother actually is not there. Because, like, you know, Notion Titan Colors, and they make these type of mistakes. And the kid was probably sleeping. He had to catch this all up. The kid was probably sleeping, and then the mother went to shul because it's called Nidre, and she's just going to go there and come right back. Kind of that concept. And meanwhile, like, you know, the kid actually woke up, but the mother didn't. It didn't take into measurement, so it could be like actually the kid is by itself, and like scared or something like that. So I have to check it out. After I look in the window, nobody attacking, knock on the door, nobody answers, and then go in. Well, before we would go in, we'd have to check Shokanova. Am I allowed to go in? Am I quick to go in? Don't bother me, call me Jeff. Finished. We never get anywhere near there. We never. Baby cry. And he said, you know, and afterwards we would tell this horror story that the baby was left alone and the mother went to call Nidre. Where's that mother? We're going to give it to her. Boom. Fuck, how you left the baby alone? Boom. That's okay. Now we're going to do chesed with the mother. Right? And do chesed with the mother. Tell her off. That's like really going to do a lot of good for her. It's going to do a lot of good for the baby too, to have a broken mother. Okay. What, the baby's crying. What's it got to do with me? Very rarely do people knock on your door, right, and ask you for their needs before you put up in one shape, one form or the other, a sign that there's a gemach here for needs. Knock on the door if you have whatever needs you know how to deal with. Right? Until you put out messages, that's okay, you can ask me. Number one is, I won't throw you out. Number two is, I may actually help you. Number three is, I'd be happy to help you. You don't have to be embarrassed. I'm waiting for you to come. Then, after 16 times thinking it over, and when they're really getting desperate, then they'll knock on the door the first time. After they knocked on the door the first time, and you actually gave them, then the second time comes a lot easier, third time's a lot easier, and afterwards, then it's like, you know, no end to the thing concept. Right?
Mitzvah's
career, it's Mitzvah. That's right. Then it's like fiat, right? That's why all of the G'daylin, right? They can see 150 people a day, every day. Yeah. Okay. All time. morning, that thing. Days, nights, middle of the mornings, middle of the sick, middle of the up, middle of the down, middle of the doesn't matter.
Right? Yeah, the only person in the world.
Nobody, not just nobody needs anything.
No.
Right. Nobody. Yeah, right.
Nobody else in the world.
Have you saw it? Were you ever there?
Sure. 5 minutes. I think I have 5 minutes in my entire life.
Yeah.
I have
six,
three or four stories.
Yeah, 7 years. No time. Right. Tell me again, how was it? What exactly? Yeah? I feel like this, I feel like that. I didn't hear, I can say it again. Let's go, no rush. I only had 3 million things waiting for him, no problem. There's 17 people sitting out there in his living room. And he hasn't eaten supper yet. No problems. Maybe I'll call up the person and I'll do this. But you know, Camille Sosodin, didn't come my way today. You see this? See that? Mm-hmm. All right. So we didn't learn the mission yet. We just learned what the mission is not talking about. That's its brother. There's a mission in the beginning. It was also Shimon. Shimon and Tzadik. He told us that that's life. Hashem B'chai tells us, right, that's life, that's Shavu L'chol Nefesh, but there's something special. All of those things that are Shavu L'chol Nefesh, let's put it into our words. Everybody's got to have a brain. Right? You can't say person and not say brain, and not include brain. Right? Every person has to have a heart. You can't say a person, no heart, but person. And if there's no heart, no person. Everybody's got to have a body. A person, no body. No body, no person. So this is, these are basics. As you say, a person has to be made up of. It actually is corresponding to what I just said. But so that's like for everybody. That's like, yeah. There's a new concept. There's another concept. Everybody has to have Torah, and there's a special concept called Keset. Everybody has to have a Voidah, and there's a special concept called Kuhuna, which is a specialization in a Voidah, and then there's Keset. And then there's a concept of Gemilas Chosodin, everybody has Gemilas Chosodin, and then there's a special concept in Gemilas Chosodin called Malchus, right? And then there's Keset Malchus. I'll stop here.
One quick story about
Shalom. Oh, good.
A side thing, forget what I met him for 5 minutes, but like, as I'm walking out the door, the first day, I met him 2 days, one day, the first day he was like getting up the stairs, and he got up the stairs, and it's like 15 people waiting for him, like halfway up the stairs, he stopped just to say, hey, I'm well today. Please come tomorrow. Gets up the stairs, and we're sitting there with the son of Baruch, like, you know. What time tomorrow? Okay, fine. Yeah, everybody's getting the appointments and nobody has one complaint at all. It looks like the guy's ready to drop dead right there. I mean, he's really not doing too terribly well. This is 5 years ago. And so, fine. And he goes to his room. Really hard. He's having a hard time. And he sees a father in the corner. He's like, he's ready to walk into that room. What's bad? Father there, the son who doesn't look exactly normal. Something's wrong with the son. Right? He sees the father's like walking him out and holding him. Right? He's walking him out. I don't know if he's really blind or he's retarded, but he had some serious problem he could not. And like, so he walks over. And as he's getting close to the son, he stops breathing. He's like, speaking really hard. As soon as he gets close to the son, he asks the son about Brooke, like, what's wrong with him? The kid's a good problem. No, fine. So as he's getting close to the son, he works on himself really hard. He tries to stop breathing hard, so that the son doesn't like you. And then like, this is, you know, he's telling him, what's your problem? And then this kid had the problem, started to burst out in tears. And here's what Shlomo is like, holding on to three things, and she plops on the floor. And he gave him a big hug, and he supported this kid. He was like about 15. He supported him because he was like falling apart. The kid was falling apart. And so also he got the strength just for the kid. As soon as it was over, I'm like, I got enough of a baruch. I'm like, let me walk out. I'm like, I can't stop. So as soon as he walks away from the sun, it's like he's breathing hard again. He didn't physically get better for the moment. He just stopped it because he couldn't hurt that kid who was having a problem. That was what I was waiting for.
You got it in the next one.